the Veil.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. You've just tuned in to the show Behind the Veil. I will be your humble tour guide. My name is Christopher, and we are going to take an interesting journey tonight. No, tonight we are not going to talk about ghosts, goblins, witchcraft, or any of that. We're going to delve deep into the psyche and the powers of some of the most notorious people in the history of our nation. We're talking about serial killers tonight. What made them tick? Why did they do what they did? And what were their influences? But we're going to go beyond the mere psychology of a serial killer. We're going to go after the metaphysical side of what made them who they are. Tonight we're going to talk about the astrology of a serial killer. What under the heavens influenced them? What were their signs, and what traits do these signs portray in each one of these very interesting and demented monsters that walked our lands? Tonight we have Tara Ciampa from Visions Online magazine, and I am definitely going to enjoy this interview. She has shown me some very interesting things on the website. I do highly recommend that you go and read her four-part series on these interesting individuals on her website, www.visionsmagazineonline.com. And let's go ahead and get Tara on the line. And we are ringing. Hello, Tara.
Well, hello.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad. Well, thank you for joining us here on Behind the Veil. I appreciate
Thanks for making the topic sound so dramatic. I'm psyched now.
Well, it is a very dramatic topic, because this is a subject that no one has really gone into, but you have taken it upon yourself to bring to light some of the things that have influenced some of the most notorious people in our history. Nanny Doss, Ted Bundy, Eileen Wuornos, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Charles Manson. Those names just fall off the lips of almost every human being in the United States. And some are looked to in forms of reverence. Some are looked to as diabolical monsters. But the way that you've broken them down is a way that no other psychologist has ever done. They try to get into the mind, but you've gone into what influenced them. What gave them that little extra nudge, that power to be who they were. And that's what I want to delve into tonight.
Right. That's the thing.
Now, before we get into the details of each one of these interesting individuals, I really would like to know what got you into astrology and why you applied that to their personalities.
Astrology's always been interesting. You know, to me, it's an interest of mine. So naturally, if I'm in a bookstore, that's the first book I'm going to reach for. And I found the studies so interesting to me personally that I just kept reading and reading and reading. And when I put what I read to the test of, okay, this person is this, I'm like, wow, these people really do fit the descriptions I'm reading. So that fueled my interest. And also, I noticed that, you know, my daughter's a Pisces, and a lot of the killers are going to be focusing on tonight are Pisces, so it's my duty to find these things out.
A little bit of self-protection.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and hop right into it, because we have five of the most notorious individuals in our history. And let's start with person number one. Let's go straight into Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer, okay. Want me to say a couple things about Dahmer?
Yes, please.
Start it off? Okay. I know why you picked Dahmer, because he's a Gemini. Is that why?
Yeah, I had to go with the man who has a lot of the same traits as I do. God, I hate to say that. Being a Gemini, it's hard to associate yourself with another Gemini that did something so deplorable, but...
It's important that we talk about Dahmer first, because we don't want to run out of time to talk about this Gemini killer, right?
Actually, the most notorious, the most famous, I want to save him for last. But
sounds good.
But the two ladies, I want you to go into as much as you possibly can, because that's one thing that you don't hear an awful lot about. You hear about Ted Bundy and Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, the Menendez brothers. I mean, you hear about the men. You don't hear about the women.
You're right. They don't get it as much media exposure, and I don't know. I feel a little beefed about that.
When we get to Eileen, I definitely want you to reference the movie. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's go ahead and start right in with Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, he was an interesting person just in his own right.
And he also started killing at a very young age. We're talking age 18. Dahmer was already a killer at age 18.
I know. And then
another thing I found fascinating about Dahmer was, I mean, he talks about these negative thoughts. He says, these thoughts, you know, they aren't my own. They're very powerful and very destructive. So then my mind's going off of, wow, what in the heck was influencing this guy? You know, so he feels like something was taking him over. So that right there got my attention. Him being a Gemini, he was very, you know, laid back guy. When you look at him, that's how he always looked. He always looked very passive, but there was so much going on in his mind. But, I mean, all those stoic pictures we see of Dahmer, we really never saw the rage that, you know, that went on with him. And he, the thing with Dahmer is he had the ability to fool so many people because of his looks. He looked so average. You'd walk past Dahmer, and you wouldn't be scared. You know, he was just
exactly
so,
like,
yeah, he was. He was just one. He reminds me of my brother, you know, a little bit, you know, just very calm looking. So right away, people then are caught off guard by that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he was
altogether.
Very much one of those laid back, but charismatic, but not overly so. I mean, to look in his eyes, he looks like a very kind and peaceful person. He's the kind of neighbor that would pick up your mail if you're off on vacation and mow your lawn.
Exactly. And then another thing I had to look into a bit but didn't get very far with was cannibalism. You know, there's just not enough good reference material out there on cannibalism, and I took offense to that.
Well, most researchers that have delved into cannibalism have really gone only towards the cultural side of it, and not the psychology of it, not the things that influences somebody to even think about doing something like that.
So right there with the cannibalism, I really wanted like a full paragraph on what could drive somebody to it, and I ended up falling short of the reference material available out there. So that one I couldn't really, you know, touch on like I wanted to.
And it almost, at least for him, it must have seemed like it was a logical next step, because he did everything else. Why not try eating the flesh of my victims?
To him that was like a spiritual thing, like wanting to be close to people. Dahmer was a very lonely man, and he also, you know, he just had very low self-esteem, and, you know, the average person having low self-esteem, you know, isn't going to drive them to murder, but in the case of Dahmer, it did. Now, if you're talking about his childhood influences, at age 4, he went under a surgery, I believe it was actually a hernia operation, at age 4, but from what I read, he really wasn't explained, you know, nothing was explained to him as what the surgery was. So it was extremely scary for him. So if I would say, you know, what in his childhood might have brought something like this on, that would right there was a big trauma.
Yeah, at such a young and early age to be poked and prodded and no one explained to you what's going on with your body, that... And with all these people around and so many scary-looking instruments, some shiny, some dull, some sharp, some blunt force, I mean, that would scare any child, let alone a child of four.
Yeah, now, as far as Dahmer, he was actually out there murdering for about 13 years. They came very close to catching him because him and one of his guy friends were, you know, out there running around, and one of them, I think, was lacking some clothing and caught the attention of the police. They go back to Dahmer's house, and they didn't even look up his record. They would have found a record of Dahmer being a pedophile had they bothered to even search for something like that, like a, you know, you'd think the police would do.
Now, if I remember correctly from your article that you wrote on Dahmer on Visions Magazine Online, you also said that Dahmer used sedatives. He used some kind of a dulling agent in order to dope his victims. And that very same person, when he finally flagged down a police officer, was so doped up and incoherent that they really couldn't make heads or tails of what he was saying.
That's true, too, because the guy really couldn't express himself to let the police know he was in danger, so that was, yeah, working against him right there. And then Dahmer had that capacity, that Gemini thing, where he could switch this on and off very easily, so he was, you know, his cool, calm, collected self, so they really didn't think this was any big deal. They couldn't have, because the cops didn't really pursue it. But yeah, the zombie thing is really intriguing, though, what he would try to do with people. I mean, he's drilling their skulls and putting poison in there and experimenting. He wanted a living zombie. He was that lonely. He just wanted somebody. It's crazy when you think about it, isn't it?
It very much is. And reading through your article on Dahmer, a lot of the traits that he portrayed by, you know, under the Gemini sign, really fits a lot of Geminis that I know. And I do have to say I'm included in that, because I am a Gemini. But I don't go to the extreme of drilling holes in anybody's head. So.
No, I mean, the thing is, yeah, he had some sort of, I think, problem with getting close to people. So he just had a really bizarre way of trying to get people close to him, and took it to the just gruesome extreme. It was just unbelievable.
Well, let's go into the astrology of Dahmer. Give us an overview of what are some of the classic traits of a natural Gemini, and how each one of those portrayed themselves in Dahmer.
Okay, sure. Now, when we talk about the Gemini, okay, they're an air sign. So, air sign, set apart from the others, air is, you know, people that are meant like to mentally be engaged, you know, like things that challenge them mentally. They're very communicative, witty, with certain things. I'm sure you're going to find you have almost like a childlike fascination.
Yeah. As you and I got to talking about this last night, I was incredibly excited, because it's just a fascinating subject. But please do go on.
And like I said, the dual personality thing with the Gemini, I mean, he could really switch things on and off. Now, he was also somebody influenced by certain planets, you know, like we would say, like Venus, you know. Venus is like some charm there. It did take a certain amount of charm to lure these men into his apartment. You know, that's like the Venus influence. And then the moon is, you know, more like on the side of imagination. And, you know, that's a mood thing with the moon. You know, a lot of water signs you're going to find are moon influenced. And that's the thing where his moods are triggered and set off, in his case, to the extreme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to talk about another planet here, about Saturn. And this is like the serious side, you know, Dahmer, the serious Saturn-type character. And now when we talk about Saturn, it can actually make him, you know, a person vulnerable to loneliness. And that was a big thing with Dahmer. You know, a loneliness drove him to do a lot of the things that he did.
This is true. And I do know a lot of Geminis that do tend to be, I don't want to say introverted, because a lot are incredibly extroverted. You know, they do go out, they get involved, but that's the action. And mm-hmm. We do tend to hold things inside.
right.
an awful lot. I'm the same way. I do tend to hold my feelings inside. And I do know quite a few Geminis that are, I don't want to say suffer from the Nightingale complex, that, you know, they rush into danger without thinking or anything like that, but a lot of Geminis do tend to go towards the medical fields because they have a desire to help, and in an emergency situation, they can turn off everything and just act.
Mm-hmm.
And I exhibit those exact traits as well. I have way too much in common with Dahmer here. I'm getting scared.
Well, you're not an alcoholic, are you? Because that was one of his issues, too. And I think that, I mean, you're having a mood issues as it is. Then he's adding alcoholic. It was so bad, this alcoholism. It, you know, he got him kicked out of the military. So that was another thing that was going on with Dahmer as well. I mean, that was a way of him, I believe, just numbing, you know, numbing himself, overcompensating for that lack of self-esteem going on with him there.
Using a depressant like alcohol would definitely turn off emotions like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to intensify whatever emotions are inside you. You know, some people, they'll be funny when they're drunk. Some people, like, you know, can just turn into real jerks, you know, so.
This is true.
Yeah, it's going to affect everybody a little bit differently. I mean, and he, you know, went to the extreme with it, too, where more he drank, I'm sure he kept probably just changing and changing. But, yeah, very barbaric. If you go to visionsmagazineonline.com, we don't get too graphic, but we do have a picture of the Dahmer tolls, which are kind of interesting to look at, you know, because he was a pretty violent killer. You know, like we said, he's a cannibal, and he's bludgeoning people and strangling them. And like we said, that he's using the drugs and the zombie techniques. I mean, just a real madman here. And he also was a trophy collector, skeleton, skulls, torsos. It was like a gruesome museum, you know, but obviously the cops didn't get to, you know, it gets me angry that the cops really didn't search his place and they would have found all that.
I would agree with you because it just seems like they dropped the ball left and right when it came to identifying somebody as pure evil as Dahmer was. And
yeah, I know.
He admitted that the thoughts that he had were not his own a lot of the times.
Oh, yeah. Another thing is he went after very young victims, you know, and it's really disgusting, but, you know, he went after, you know, we're talking about 14-year-olds, and that's probably because some Geminis, and a friend of mine is like this, she sometimes has that little playful side of her, so that's, you know, he found his comfort zone with them, probably. Didn't find them threatening, whatever it was. But, yeah, he was going after some pretty young people, just really awful.
Now, a lot of Geminis tend to be on the artistic side. There is an aspect that lends itself to creativity. And a lot of it really does have to do with the hands. Like, I make jewelry. He mm-hmm. wanted to make, you know, hand fashion an altar.
Dahmer wanted to make zombies. See, there you go. Now, you both wanted to create something.
So what powers of the Zodiac are what influences come from the Zodiac that, you know, make
He also, besides being Gemini, he also had, like, the Taurus influence and the Aries. So the Taurus influence was his calming, you know. And like I said, he could turn these emotions on and off with being a Gemini. I would say because he was a Gemini, he was a very quick thinker, and he put a lot of thought into what he was going to do. His plans were already formed in advance. You know, his dad worked in a lab, so he knew quite a bit about, you know, these chemicals and concoctions. So I think that the Gemini personality gave him the ability to, you know, make these gruesome plans and really put them into action. He was using his mind a lot. He was also fooling people, switching on and off his emotions, because, like you know, you Geminis are you can be very socially graceful, and he used that to his advantage.
He very much did. Now, he was so charismatic. What part of the Gemini sign? What is the influence that comes from that?
Did you say charismatic?
Yes. Because he was so laid back that you, and so unassuming, but when he talked, he was incredibly charming, he was forthright, he was very...
I, I, See, I wouldn't really call him charismatic. When I think charismatic, I think Manson, very engaging. I think with Dahmer, he just had that passiveness that he really had that thing where he could earn your trust so easily. You know, I think of him more as a, you know, person that you would make you feel comfortable right away. I really didn't have the whole charismatic thing about Dahmer. You know, maybe you're seeing something in Dahmer I really didn't pick up on.
Well, let's see if I can rephrase this. Charismatic as in he's a seducer. You don't see him coming.
Okay, yeah. Now, well, if you put it like that, yeah, a little bit different. I mean, like I say, he's putting some, you know, plans into place, and he's using his charm, and I think with Dahmer, you know, he's a master of switching on and off those emotions, and even just his looks gave him the advantage, really. I mean, you look at Charles Manson, you're going to be like, you look at Dahmer, and you're just like, oh, guy next door, you know, you're just very at ease right away. Unless you're someone that can maybe pick up on emotions, like sometimes I'll get bad vibes from people, a bad sense of, you know, something, you know, a bad energy about them, but most people aren't really probably going to pick up on that. He fooled his own family. You know, Dahmer, you know, under his roof of his, I believe it was his grandma, and nobody ever suspected what this guy was up to. He even had his family fooled. So you have to think, wow, he knew how to pull one over on, like, everybody, the cops, his family, you know, the victims never knew what hit them.
Now, in some of the other cases that you covered, there were some opportunities for them to have turned around. Studying Dahmer, did you find anything, you know, one of those rare opportunities that would have said, you know, what I'm doing is wrong, and this is the person that can help me straighten my life out?
I really didn't see anything that Dahmer really wanting to change. That's the thing. Like, I feel like, you know, Dahmer wasn't a person to change. I mean, because he kept on with his alcoholism and got him thrown out of the military. So he really didn't learn from, you know, and that's actually a psychopath characteristic where they don't learn from their mistakes. They just keep on with their behavior, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And, you know, could even have been the whole, you know, psychopath thing going on there. But the top thing with being a psychopath is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of these killers are very intelligent, and that really puts them to an advantage. They're using their intelligence to, you know, fool a lot of the people when they, it's just bizarre. You know, that is one of the traits of being a psychopath. Now, we couldn't call Manson a psychopath because Manson don't even have the basic skills to read or write. So that would be, oh, well, how are we going to tell this one's a psychopath and this one isn't? But I think the main thing, if you see that intelligence going there, that might fit in the category of a psychopath.
Oh, yeah. Dahmer was incredibly intelligent. I mean, he knew chemicals from working with his dad. So he had that high level of intelligence. He was highly calculating. He knew how to seduce his way into someone's world in an incredibly short amount of time.
Yeah, and if you go with percentages as far as psychopaths, the percentages out there as far as what I've researched, they say about 3-5% of men are psychopaths and about 1% of females. So to that I say to you, ha ha ha.
Yeah, they didn't know my ex-fiancée, but anyway.
Oh, I looked that up for you, by the way. You said Virgo, right?
Yes, she was September
22nd. Very incompatible thing you had going on there.
Yeah, but it worked, and I don't know why.
Well, I guess it only worked up until a point, because that's how my last one too. We were not compatible astrologically. So sometimes superficially at first they will work, but then, you know, if you're not thinking along the same lines and you start, you know, the thing, we have to make major decisions over and over again together, and you can't come to the same resolutions, it starts to break down.
And I think that's about what we did. Well, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, Tara. Let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll go through a little bit of music and a couple of commercials. Be about 5 minutes, if that sounds okay.
That'd be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here at Behind the Veil on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We are talking about the astrology of serial killers. What influenced their personalities throughout their life, and how those traits came through. We will be back with Tara from Visions Online Magazine here in just a few moments after this short musical interlude.
Trinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is safe.
Here at the crossroads, you have a choice. Picking the right path is
Whoops, a little bit of audio mix up there. We'll just go ahead and come back just a second or two early. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning into the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, you're listening to Behind the Veil. I am your host, Christopher, and we are talking about the astrology of serial killers, how the Zodiac influenced some of the most influential names in murderous history. We're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, Eileen Wuornos, and Nanny Doss. And with us tonight, going through the astrology of a serial killer, is my very special guest, Tara from Visions Magazine Online. You still with us, Tara?
I am still here.
Alrighty. Well, when we left off, we were talking about Dahmer. Let's go opposite now. We started with a water sign, an air sign. With the Gemini. Let's go to a water sign and go with Eileen Wuornos.
Wuornos, okay. Well, Eileen Wuornos was a Pisces, and what originally got me interested in Eileen was that movie, some of you might have saw it there, that movie called Monster.
Now, that starred Christina Ricci and Charlize Theron. I remember
Charlize really did a good job.
Oh, yes. It's been a while since
that's what kind of hooked me on the movie. The story was a little thin. They kept it kind of one-sided, I thought, but...
Well, tell us about Eileen, and then let's go into how her zodiac influenced her personality.
Well, I'll tell you what about Eileen. She was the toughest one I had to write, because her being a Pisces, she had a lot of issues with her childhood, and I think that desensitized a sensitive Pisces. And another thing you're going to see with Pisces is, I call them like the chameleon of the zodiac. When they're around different people, they tend to emulate the person they're around. They'll pick up a lot of their behavior sometime. They have, a very sensitive personality. They're imaginative. So sometime their imagination can just like take them over. They're kind of like known as the dreamers of the zodiac. Like I said, my daughter's a Pisces, so it's a sign I'm pretty well familiar with as far as in the work, you know, in the world itself, and see how she interacts and reacts to different things. And what I do see is the creativity, the emotionalness. We don't see a lot of this going on with Eileen, but what we see with Eileen is a very rejected child. She really wasn't wanted. Her mother, she ended up being adopted, and it was just a very bad way. She was in a very bad way. You know, she ended up having to gave up a child for adoption, a failed marriage. Things just weren't going very good for Eileen, and I think, you know, very deep emotional scars.
Now, she was given up for adoption at a young age. She lost her brother, if I remember correctly, to throat cancer in 76, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was right. Yeah, right around, she was 20 years old. She even had a marriage that only lasted like 9 weeks, right around that same time where her brother was passing away. And that would, the brother passing away, I'm glad you brought that up, because, yeah, that's another hard-hitting thing with a Pisces. That's going to hit them harder than somebody like me or you, because you're an air sign. You have that little cushion. It's a bigger impact, biggest impact to, like, I'd say a water sign. Okay, a water sign being Cancer, Scorpio, and the Pisces sign. They're water. They're all, you know, they are emotional, so that's a stronger impact for them when the death of a loved one, something hurts them emotionally. It's like they can't get over it as fast as, like, I could as a fire sign, a Leo, or you could as an air sign, a Gemini. It sinks deeper with them.
That sounds incredibly true for all the Pisces that I've ever known. Most of the Pisces that I've known have been those incredibly deep and thoughtful people. Poetry, music. A lot of musicians are Pisces because they just feel everything and throw it so heavily into their music.
Kurt Cobain was a Pisces. Look at him.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, he had very wonderfully worded lyrics and expressive music, and then couldn't deal with his own demons.
And Kurt Cobain hooked up with a Cancer sign, another water, Courtney Love.
Now that I didn't know. I knew who, but I didn't know what she was.
So that was like a nightmare as far as we have two people with drug problems, going out of balance, being a water sign. Sometime that comes along with being a water sign. I would never say all water signs are drug addicts, but when it comes to percentages, water signs have more of a tendency to reach for the drugs because their emotions hurt them. It's almost like a physical pain to them, and they need to numb it somehow.
Now, Eileen was able, well, I don't want to say was able, of her early childhood all the way up into her early adulthood was really slammed hard with everything that was going on with her life. You know, she never knew her dad. She was given up for adoption. She was incredibly close with her brother, and there was speculation that the child she was carrying was his at one point.
Right.
And then she lost her brother. She lost most, if not all, of her beloved family before she even got a chance to really know them.
Yeah, and the one person she's close to, her brother, you know, he's gone, And she was in, look at the line of work she was in. She was into prostitution, and that's like would be a very bad line of work for Pisces because it does put them actually, being vulnerable. And that's, Pisces don't like to be vulnerable. But that her choosing that, while she probably didn't choose that line of work, she fell into that line of work probably. It's not like she had a lot of options being on the street like that. But You know, when it comes to you know, Pisces, they don't like to be vulnerable, and like I say, that would, so I think she overcompensated, you know, as far as, you know, being the vulnerable one, and it, if you watch the movie, it probably did portray a lot of her hard shell. You know, I thought that was acted very well, and that is to survive how she would have had to have been.
Now, being a Pisces and being, I hate to say the word vulnerable, but being that emotional and easy to reach type person, she actually used that to her advantage when she started taking. I would more term her murders as revenge killings for life, treating her the way that it did.
It does, yes, it does seem that way. Now, if we put in perspective, like, as for the numbers, like, Dahmer killed about, I believe, about 17, and Warnos only 7. So, yeah, since it was that small number, you would wonder, was it, you know, something, I mean, the movie certainly made it, you think, that she was a victim, and she spoke out as being raped, being a victim, and this was her way of defending herself. But it seemed like, you know, she was taking advantage of them too, you know, robbing them, whatever. So she probably wasn't the victim all the time, you know what I mean, but she used that,
right,
as pity me type thing.
Her first victim, she hitched a ride with. She was hitching in Florida, if I remember correctly, and random guy stopped and picked her up, and she robbed him for $200 and killed him, if I remember correctly. And then the next one was after she met her friend, Taria.
Yeah, that's another thing, you know, who she chose to hook up with. With a Pisces, you know, some signs, they'll play off each other. Okay, you being an air sign, me being a fire, we'd probably have a relationship where we play off each other, but a Pisces is different. When they're in a relationship, they are more self-absorbed by the person they're with, and they have, the person with them has a lot more influence on them. And I hate to use the example of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, but that might give you the kind of the idea where, you know, one's kind of wrecking the thing for the other, and they just kind of just taking turns destroying each other. And a water sign really has to be careful with who they get hooked up with, because if they get hooked up with somebody pretty unbalanced, and that could, you know, they could be fairly stable, but then that could make them go into the instability type situation, because they will emulate sometime.
This is true. Now, this is also something that made her doubly unique as a killer, because not only is she a woman, but she took a partner. Now, whether Taria joined her at the very times of each one of the murders, I don't know. I couldn't discern that from the articles. But in some of the other instances, you know, where they were together, she was a witness for Eileen in some of the court cases that were brought against her. She was a witness for the instance where the bus driver pushed her off a bus, and they filed a claim against the busing company.
Yeah. Now, she was a gun-toting woman. She was a thief. She survived committing robberies and forging checks. So, you know, we have to let people realize what type of person she had become, you know, being on the streets like that. Now, the movie portrayed she tried to get some honest jobs, and who knows, maybe she did. I mean, we know what it's like out there sometime, and, you know, she just became a very hardened, rough individual.
Which is incredibly hard for a Pisces, being such a flowing person, you know, that can literally go from one moment to the next in such an easy transition.
Yeah, and you might say her trust of men was totally destroyed, being that, you know, she, the male companion she chose at age 20 didn't work out for her at all, but of course she ended up brutalizing him. It was actually, I read that she beat him with his own cane.
Well, yeah, well, here you go with the May-December romance. She hitchhikes her way to Florida and meets a wealthy 70-year-old man. So you have a 20-year-old with a 70-year-old.
Right, exactly. 70-year-old mate.
So he was well into his, you know, he was getting into his golden years. And, you know, Anna Nicole kind of deal. get rid of him. I've got insurance money. I've got his inheritance.
And another thing I wondered about Eileen was, the more I thought about it, you know, she was living a life where she was around a lot of rough individuals. So her being a Pisces, that really wasn't her character. So I think she might have been picking that up from a lot of people around her. That was the environment she was in, so she could actually become that. She was becoming her environment.
Well, let's go from the water sign to somebody that I saw her pictures. This is the most unassuming woman in the world. I mean, to sit down beside her on a park bench or anything, she would be the everyday grandma. And that's Nanny Doss. She was an incredible woman. To do what she did and get away with it for 27 years?
Oh, yeah. She was one of the ones that took forever to catch this woman.
And so and forthright, and she's so unassuming.
Yeah, she was a Scorpio like Manson, and you're right. The pictures that you'll see on my site, visionsmagazineonline.com, toward the bottom there is where you'll find the serial killer section. Just keep scrolling down. You know that because you were there.
Oh, yeah.
But she was a hard one to write about because she was, born back in 1905. So it was hard to find information on Nanny Doss. You know, she wasn't sensationalized like Manson. Yeah, she was the same sign as Manson, but it's hard to find information on her, and she actually killed about 11 people, and these people happened to be her husbands, and she actually, you know, had the nickname of Arsenic Nanny. That was her method of killing, was poisoning these husbands. And it usually, being a Scorpio, when she was agitated, when they started to agitate her was when she would, you know, strike and do this poisoning.
Now, one of the traits of a Scorpio is that they are very outgoing and very powerful. They like that competitive edge to where they're number one and they have to come first.
Most of them are. There's a small segment of Scorpios because I've known some, and these are in the minority, but some of them, you know, they really do keep to themselves. They tend to be private when it comes to their own personal issues, but some of them really keep everything internalized. But that's not really the norm. But they do actually go for that power position. You know, if somebody is, like, I think in Nanny Doss's case, this was important because she felt like her husbands were taking away her power. They were taking away her freedom. You know, she liked to read these little romance novels, and one of her husbands in particular didn't like that. And she's trying to suppress Nanny, the Scorpio, and she won't have that. Because, you know, Scorpio women, as you may or may not know, are very confident women. And, on the average, I'm talking about the average, you know, very confident. And even if, you know, the ones I met were. So Nanny had that where, you know, don't you get one up on me type thing.
Well, she started off with a hard life. She was one of five children. And back in that time, it really wasn't, you know, the separation of the sexes. The men were in control. It was a very patriarchal type of society back in the early 1900s. And Daddy ruled the roost. And he kept her home from school quite a lot, so she didn't get the education that her brother and sisters were getting sometimes. She worked the fields when she did get home.
Mm-hmm.
And her only refuge was those romance novels.
Yeah, and I'm like I said, and I think she was drawn to those because her being a water sign and emotional, that would spawn creativity in her, you know, like kind of take her away and be that dreamy side of her.
So are Scorpios more have a tendency more towards fantasy life?
I think all waters do. They do have a bigger streak for creativity, like imagination, and naturally that emotional. Now, I actually feel Scorpio is separate and apart from the other water signs in certain ways. Now, the other water signs being Cancers and Pisces, in that water sign emotional family is also, you know, that's Scorpio. Now, I feel out of those three water signs, Scorpio is different in the way that they don't look at you. They look in you. And what I mean is they are very keen observers. And the ones I know really fit that too. and, you know, they make good researchers and things like that. But, I mean, they tend to really focus on who they're around and observe things that other people wouldn't. And like I said, they have, it's easy for them to manipulate because they are observing so easily. If you have a weakness, they're sure going to find it, you know, and capitalize on that.
This is very true. Now, you and I, last night when we were setting up everything for tonight's interview, I referenced my cousin Jason, who was a very successful regional wrestler in our area. And he was very driven on that. I don't want to say obsessed, but very close to that line. I mean, he devoted every free time he had to studying the films of his opponents, watching their every move. When he was at a match, he watched every single person that he would go up against throughout the entire tournament. And he went undefeated. Well, he lost one match out of 8 years of wrestling. I mean, the boy was phenomenal. And then when he got into college, he did the same thing. And at about that same time, religion entered his life. He became a very devout Christian and is an incredible youth leader today. I mean, he and his wife take dozens of children and do all kinds of outdoor activities, from hiking and camping to whitewater rafting. He's a wonderful teacher. But when you stop and talk to him, he looks you in the eye. He doesn't waver. He doesn't blink sometimes.
All the Scorpios I know certainly do. They really, you know, focus on you. An interesting thing I can tell you about that article, but I'm, of course, that's jumping over to Mansa, but since we're talking about Scorpio, in case I forget to mention it, you'll see a bright blue eye in the Manson. Of course, that's not Charlie Manson's eye, but I ran a contest. I wanted to find an actual Scorpio person with an intriguing eye to look at, and I actually did end up meeting the person after a time, after I put her eye in the article, and I thought that was kind of cool that I used an actual local person and used their eye in there. And sometimes I like to add those little personal touches to the articles.
I looked at all those pictures, and that eye really stood out because that is a blue eye. And it's very engaging. It's very captivating. And it's one of those eyes that it literally does. It peers right through you. It has that piercing gaze to it. And Scorpios very much have that ability to just look, regardless of how strong-willed you may be and have that ability to hide whatever, people with that ability would just go right through you as if you don't exist.
Right. Another thing I feel about Scorpio, and I'm sure this would, you know, apply to the one you just described there, is, you know, I feel like with a lot of them, it's like failure is not an option. They can direct so much energy into something, and a Cancer sign is like that as well. I've seen a lot of examples of that. But yeah, they can really focus, you know, like put that intense focus into something, like he did with wrestling, and I'm sure other pursuits as well. And it can really, you know, it can, well, for instance, Bill Gates, he's a Scorpio. Prince Charles, there you go, right there.
Well, Nanny Doss took that to an extreme, though. I mean, when she thought, I don't think she ever saw herself as a failure. She saw the failure in the people that were around her, her husbands, and even her own family, her own grandchildren. She saw the failure in them to not place her number one. And from each husband to the next, it was, you know, it was that natural flow. This one didn't work, this one will.
Yeah, and what really kept her out of the spotlight and kept her out of trouble for so long was she knew how to keep her secrets, and that is a Scorpio thing where they can hide things very easily for some reason. And I find out with a lot of water signs where they will, I'd say, hold inside, you know, a lot of their emotions, and that I'm sure that's probably makes it all the worse, but that's just how they, I think, a lot of them function, where they will internalize and they will hide certain things.
Now, she probably could have, if not would have, kept going even into her golden years, attempting to find that perfect mate that she concocted in her head from reading all those stories, if it hadn't have been for her last husband, who was a devout Christian and forbade her from reading those fairy novels that gave her her fantasy life.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, she felt very suppressed, you know, by that real religious husband that she had. You know, he was, his name was Samuel Dawson. He was, you know, very into the church and kind of kept her on a short lease, and he was keeping her away from reading her romance novels and that. He was, you know, he didn't realize what he was dealing with. There was actually one way back in her history that realized she was dangerous and got out of there, but most of them didn't.
That was her first husband, if I remember correctly.
I'm trying to remember which one that was now, but I know one got away.
if I remember correctly, about the age of 20, she married a gentleman, I forget what his name was, and they had four girls, and two of the girls died mysteriously, air quotes around mm-hmm. that word, and he got scared with what some of the actions and some of the questions around those deaths, and took the oldest daughter, but left the baby daughter with her to raise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then years later, if I remember correctly, her oldest daughter contacted her again, and they had their relationship come back into full blossom, and she had Nanny join her at bedside for the birth of her first child, a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she swears that she saw Nanny take a head pin and put it into the baby's head.
I mean, just imagine how, yeah, and you have to think, huh, with her, anything's possible. And then, you know, the first husband, his name was Charlie. Charlie's mother died, you know, mysteriously too, so right around the time when her newborn died.
This is true.
Yeah, anybody, you know, trying to take her power away or she felt threatened by, like I say, they don't like to feel vulnerable, and I think if somebody did, you know, Nanny was going to take it to the extreme and take them out.
Which is very Scorpio-like in nature, being that she had to be, I don't want to say center of attention, but she had to be the number one on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, her second husband that was very devoted to his mother? And
mm-hmm.
and then his mother died mysteriously because she wasn't getting the attention from her husband that she craved.
Mm-hmm.
But it was her last husband, Samuel Doss, that she poisoned this using her same method of arsenic-laced prunes. And he went into the hospital with what they determined was an intestinal infection. And he started getting better, so they sent him home, and shortly thereafter, she finished the job. That's when the doctor became suspicious and said, no, let's do an autopsy, and that's when they found the evidence of the arsenic.
Yeah, and she was one of the hardest ones to find photo reference on, too, because, like I said, this was 1905, and the pictures back then weren't very great, so that was a little tricky getting pictures. I had to get a little creative on that one.
No, and if you look at her pictures, from the beginning on the website, if you go to www.visionsmagazineonline.com, scroll down to the serial killers down there, it's closer to the bottom, but click on Nanny Doss and take a look at the pictures of this woman. Now, when you see her in her older years, she really does look like that grandmother next door, you know, that salt and pepper hairdo with, you know, that high, I don't want to say beehive, but she was almost into that era. And then you look at that one older picture that you have, and she was a stunning, beautiful young woman in mm-hmm. that white dress. I mean, she was a stunning woman in her own right. And just on her looks alone, she really could have landed anybody, but for some reason, she had that hard time of finding her knight in shining armor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she developed a definite pattern, too. It's like she had that one method of killing, it worked, and she stuck with it.
And that's very much a Scorpio. When you find something that works, they stick to it.
Yeah, and I feel another thing you got to watch with Scorpios, and this is, I think, because of the determination factor. They don't give up so easily, you know. I think more like with a Gemini sometime, they might, like yourself, they would just lose interest, but not with a Scorpio. They tend to stick with something. So when it comes to they're bent on revenge, it makes them dangerous sometimes because they're going to follow through. They're determined.
Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, Tara. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we'll get into another determined person when we come back. I'd like to talk about Ted Bundy.
All right.
Yeah, talk about a very determined person and highly intelligent. This is Ted Bundy. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you've just tuned in to the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, you are listening to Behind the Veil. Tonight's topic is the astrology of serial killers. What astrological signs influenced some of the most murderous people in our history? Our special guest tonight is Tara from visionsonlinemagazine.com. So go check out the website while we take a 5-minute potty break. We'll be back after this musical interlude and station identification.
Second, man. What do you think the teacher's gonna look like this year? Whoa! Oh! Teacher, stop that screaming! Teacher, don't you see? Don't wanna be no uptown fool. Maybe I should go to hell, but I'm doing well. Teacher needs to see me after school.
This is the crew from Banshees in the G-Spot on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered who works behind the scenes on a cold case? Would you like to see cold cases done before a live studio audience? Loved ones who have passed on speak from the spiritual realm, giving the answers needed. The Psychic Justice Tour with Robbie Thomas will do just that. This venue is like nothing you've seen before. Given police endorsements throughout North America, Robbie brings his unique ability to give the correct information to police and families to help solve crimes.
Here's what some have to say about the Psychic Justice Tour. Phantom Magazine, Robbie Thomas can be best described in a few simple words, intense and extremely accurate. Don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour. Ghost Radio Network, emotional, inspiring, and provocative to see Robbie in action. There's a true angel among us. Visions Magazine, there is only one Robbie Thomas. This is a rare opportunity you simply do not want to miss.
Check out Robbie Thomas at www.robbiethomas.net and don't miss out on the Psychic Justice Tour.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from break. If you've just tuned into the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, you're listening to Behind the Veil. I am your host, Christopher. If you would like to join us here a little bit, hop on over to the chat room at www.asprn.com studioB.html. You can hop in here with all the chatters. We've got a lovely bunch of people in here with us tonight. Our topic tonight here on Behind the Veil is the astrology of a serial killer. What zodiac influenced some of the most interesting people in our time? We're talking about Dahmer, Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, Eileen Wuornos, and Nanny Doss, with our special guest Tara from Visions Magazine Online. Tara, you're still with us?
I'm right here.
All righty. Now, when we left off on break, we were talking about a Scorpio with Miss Nanny Doss and her method of, execution. Let's go into another person who is just as calculating and highly intelligent, and that's Ted Bundy. Now, he was a Sagittarius. What's the classic traits of a Sagittarius, and how did they apply to Bundy?
Well, I'd say with the Sagittarius, you know, they're under the umbrella of the fire signs. That puts the Sagittarius in the same fire sign category with the Aries and the Leo. I'm a Leo, by the way. And the fire signs are more straightforward. They're probably the most straightforward of any of the signs. So if somebody's not straightforward with us fire signs, we either get annoyed for one thing sometime, or, you know, we're straightforward and we like that approach back, but we don't always get it. So that's one thing. Like when they talk to you, we're usually very direct. A lot of independence going on with the fire sign. They like to do their own thing, you know. And also, there's a certain degree of spontaneousness going on with the fire signs. Do things on a whim. Sometimes that can get us in trouble. Sometimes we'll buy something spontaneously, something we can't afford. You know, it's a fire sign thing. Sometimes it's just too attractive to us, you know. impulsive. Fire sign can be impulsive, and it's bad for us when we're shopping. We're becoming impulsive. Probably the fire signs I would consider probably the boldest. There's some of them, especially the Aries. Some of them tend to be more daredevils, you know. Like, I could use an example of an Aries, the Jesse James, the one you see on TV doing all the crazy stunts. He's an Aries, kind of a showman, but that's kind of a fire sign thing with some of them, especially Aries. And we get easily bored, us fire signs. So, you know, that's another thing. We don't like to sit around doing nothing for very long at all. We're always thinking of things that we can be doing. So we get agitated being bored. And the temper can even come into play more so of any of them with the fire sign, too.
I find it interesting that you mentioned Jesse James from West Coast Choppers there.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually my cousin.
No.
Honest to God, when, the outlaw, you know, Jesse James came through our area, he actually had an affair with my great-great-grandmother and bore a couple of children by her. And just so happens that my great-granddad is Jesse James.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about the Jesse James, the crazy stunt man. He was the choppers dude.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the other Jesse James, the outlaw Jesse James.
Now, see, Jesse James from West Coast Choppers is a direct descendant of the outlaw Jesse James.
Now, that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, being that Jesse James is my great-great-grandfather, run it on down. Now, there's an awful lot of people that make that same claim, but we have actually traced that one.
That's wild.
And no, I don't want any of his money or his motorcycles. All those
It could send some motorcycles our way. The Custom Visions Magazine motorcycle sounds pretty good.
Oh yeah, there you go. Get you on a chopper. But yeah, now, as a Sagittarius, I don't want to say that they're duplicitous, but Bundy was very duplicitous in nature. And we mentioned earlier how charismatic Charles Manson was and is, but Ted Bundy took this to a completely different level. Manson set off to the side. Bundy was incredibly active.
And Bundy had that normalcy, that normal-looking, you know, thing going on like Dahmer. But they operated in such different ways. Now, something I wanted to point out about Bundy is he was the one with the highest death count, and probably even higher than what they, you know, speculated about him, because, you know, Dahmer is like around 17, and Bundy, they estimated like 26 to 35. Now, when law enforcement talked about these numbers to Bundy, this is pre-lawyer, okay, before he got his lawyer, he said, yeah, try putting a 1 in front of that, and maybe you'll have your number. So he was either being boastful, or there was something to that where the numbers were a lot higher.
When it comes to astrology and the zodiacs, I'll be the first one to admit I'm completely lost, because I read my horoscope almost daily, and I get lost in some of the jargon that is used in some of these. And how do some of these elements influence our daily lives, especially people like Ted Bundy? I know that there's always, you know, the Mercury's always in retrograde. I've never known it to be in prograde. And there's always a lunar, you know, the moon influences so many people in so many different ways. How did the moon play into his...
Yeah, you're talking about the different phases. And, like, for instance, I was in a really bad down phase in January. I'm so glad it's, you know, past us now. But yeah, I know for Leo, and so I got on MySpace and I said, are any other Leos having a really bad month? I said, I just looked this up and we're like in a really bad down cycle. And some people, you know, responded back and said, yeah. And so it made me feel better. Like, see, it's not just me. But yeah, I know what you're saying, the movements of the planets. And to be truthful with you, I would probably need one of those really fancy programs to figure that out for me. And so what you're reading in the newspaper is someone's interpretation of that. You know, they have probably, I'm sure, something to reference as to, you know, what the planets are doing at that particular time. So they put it into a nice little entertaining paragraph for you. And that's, I don't know, the accuracy of that, I think it's amusing, but I don't know about how accurate. My technique is, you know, to really, you know, categorize by earth, air, water, and fire, you know. So that makes it easy for me. And what that is how someone's going to respond. So if they're a water sign, they're going to respond. And when I say water sign, I mean Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. They're the emotional people, so they're going to respond to something at more of an internalized, you know, like emotional type manner. Something a water sign would internalize, a fire sign, like, you know, you're talking about your Leo, you know, your Aries and your Sagittarius, as fire signs. And this is Bundy, he's Sagittarius, as fires. Someone, you know, we're going to not internalize as much. We can get kind of agitated at certain things. So I would say, you know, this make Bundy very, he was just a very, when you talk about agitation, this guy went far and beyond. He was just, you know, maniac when it came to killing people. He escaped twice. He was very crafty. You know, he operated much different than the other ones. And he's a fire sign. He is going to operate a lot different. I would put him in the psychopath category, and that's because of his intelligence, really, is always the top thing I think of when I think, you know, like psychopath type thing. And then I right away think, well, it's, you know, probably psychopath, because when you're talking psychopath, okay, they need excessive stimulation, they have this manipulative behavior, they're impulsive, they have poor self-control. And this is one's very important. They have an incapacity for love. And when you lose that, I mean, that just really makes them a monster. And another big one is they have a lack of remorse for what they've done. So, you know, I just feel that when you read this, it's like, yeah, they, you know, they do have a lot of these things. And, you know, he really wasn't diagnosed as a psychopath. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, how couldn't he be?
I don't know. I don't know why anyone did not identify him as a psychopath, because he definitely fits all the definitions of a psychopath.
Yeah, he does.
Now, we were talking earlier about how Scorpios have that lust for power, that they have to be the one in the forefront. But the fire signs, like Sagittarius, are the real go-getters. They're the ones that really thrive into the challenge and getting into, I don't want to say challenging, corners or anything like that, but they're the ones that really have that driving spirit behind them that they're going to persevere no matter what. And that started early in Bundy when he was put in charge of babysitting his younger siblings when he was a child. Mm-hmm. And then moving on into his teen years, he basically raised his family. So he was already in a position of power. But that wasn't enough.
Yeah, now the, like you say, you have it right there when you're saying, they have that drive and ambition. That definitely was, a thing with Bundy, being determined, the determined type. But, he's a fire sign, and he operated so much different. I'm like, whoa, this is just, so much different than what I'm seeing with some of the other ones. He was being very crafty. He was luring people in with crutches and casts and impersonating officers, and he was using some really clever ways of getting people to trust him.
Now, we were talking about how highly intelligent some of these people are. This man actually went to two different colleges, won a summer scholarship to, Harvard?
He was in law school.
I mean, and that was... And being a fire person, he's incredibly passionate. And he took his turn for the worst after his first love, the very first woman that he ever fell in love with, crushed his heart and said, no, we're not going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he made his turn and killed his first victim.
Yeah, that was a turning point for him, definitely.
Now, yeah. As a Sagittarius... How did that play a role in him making such a dramatic switch? I mean, does it sound like he just took his passion for her and it just boiled into a hatred to where I have to kill somebody?
Yeah, I mean, since his targets were, women, it seems like he developed this hatred for women.
They all had the same characteristic. Now, I've not seen a picture of any one of his victims, but just from the descriptions alone, he went for medium to long-haired brunettes that parted their hair in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So I would be at risk.
So that makes me wonder if the last time that he saw his first love, if that's not the exact way that she was.
Oh, I think you definitely have something there. Oh, yes. I think that set off a trigger for him, for sure. And like I said, this is a psychopath, so he's going to take something like a heartbreak and it just send him full-blown into crazyville, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, he was a psychopath, so he didn't have, a love for people in general, and he didn't have any remorse either. So he just went, crazy. To him, that he was satisfying something in his makeup, but just, terrible how many, he just killed so many people.
And being that fire sign, that person with drive, I mean, he succeeded in anything that he wanted to do. He got exemplary grades all through primary and high school. He excelled in college. He was reported as being one of those star pupils, if you will. I mean, his professors loved him, and things just were falling into place for him if he would have kept on that track. I mean, he really could have been a successful lawyer, a politician. He was heavily into politics. He loved that argument.
Well, that would be definitely a Sagittarius trait. They're great, great debaters. I can tell you because one lives in my house.
But he was also a wanderer, which is a big trait of a Sagittarius, of that fire sign. They can't sit still. They have to constantly be on the move at some point. And mm-hmm. He didn't kill all his victims in his home city. He traveled to other states, and they found bodies in wooded areas and ravines here and the local places that were close by, and this man went all over.
He was crafty. He was determined. Another thing that sets Bundy apart is his prison escapes. He went to extremes. I mean, who would think of this? He dropped 30 pounds just to get through a little hole in the wall so he'd get out of there, and he succeeded at it.
I read that, and that was amazing to me. He lost 30 pounds, climbed through a hole in the ceiling beside a light fixture, shimmied his way through the ceiling to the custodian's closet, and then walked out the front door.
Another thing I found interesting about Bundy was he was known to have said that he actually felt people radiated vulnerability and their facial expressions kind of gave them away. They had this look of fear. So he felt these people were inviting abuse. And in his twisted mind, he already had this person pegged as a victim. He saw a weakness in them.
Yeah, because of the way he lured them in. Now, we were talking about how charismatic someone is. To pull off some of the ways that he lured his victims in, the one girl where he had the cast on his arm and was attempting to trailer a boat. Who wouldn't, and I'll have to phrase this as, what woman wouldn't help a man wearing a cast attempting to move something so large?
Yeah, unless something, inside you said, no, don't do it. You know what I mean? If you were going with your intuition, I tend to follow that a lot. But yeah, the average person, you're right, that they would just act on impulse and say, oh, I got to help this person. You're right.
Now, he would be one that I would say would take advantage of someone that would be the Good Samaritan. Yeah, we were talking last night about how he walked up to the woman in her car and walked up with a map, said, I'm lost, can you help me? And then abducted and just shot her right there in that instance, beside the payphone.
Oh, yeah, he was so calculating. He was just something else. When you compare him against the other ones, wow, he was really clever and devious. And, like, look at Nanny Doss. She stuck with the same method, but he come up with something different every time. Like, he was keeping himself entertained or something. It was just really wild.
Now, the thing that did him in, finally, that got him convicted and eventually executed in the state of Florida, was that he bit some of his victims, and they matched the dental impressions. Now, if I remember correctly, that was the sorority girls in Florida. This was after his second escape. And he got a flight to Florida and was going by a different name, Christopher something or other. See, bringing Christopher's a bad name. But but he went into the sorority house and killed, I think it was 5 girls.
That sounds about right. I know he was attacking women at the Florida State University. That does sound right.
And one of his methods that he did was, I wouldn't categorize him under the cannibalism, but he bit his victims at that point in time.
And yeah, he was a very vile, I mean, I don't even go into the methods. I really sanitized it a lot. I didn't want it to be a gore fest, you know. I said, you know, there's plenty of references and places you can go to read this stuff, but it was hard in his case to downplay this stuff because it really was just awful.
Well, what I'm attempting to get to on this end is, being a fire sign, I'm being very passionate. And the way that he enacted some of his injuries, he literally was necrophilic. He raped his victims after he killed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something you can't even begin to explain that, but I would say, you know, water sign is a dreamer. Their desires sometimes are stuck in the dream world and don't always come into the real world, and Bundy had this thing where whatever came into his mind, he made it happen, and it was very unfortunate that the things that came into his mind involved the torture and death of a lot of people.
Now, this is going to be an odd question. Because of the way that he enacted and inflicted some of these injuries on his victims, a lot of it does sound very psychosexually charged.
In his case, yes, definitely.
That would
fall under psychopath, needing excessive stimulation.
Now, as a Sagittarius, and being a fire sign, a passionate person, sexually speaking, is that a trait that, you know, it definitely exhibited in him, especially in his later conquests? I hate to use that word, but is that a typical trait of a Sagittarius or a fire sign?
Well, I'd hate to say, you know, we're all sex maniacs or anything to that degree. But like I say, whatever turns us on, we're going to be very passionate about it. That could fall under the category sex. Whatever you find exciting as a fire sign, you're going to want to repeat that and find new ways to do it. So, yeah, sex could definitely be more of a fire sign thing.
That really only dawned on me just now as we were talking, because just simply because of, especially those girls, his victims in Florida, at the University of Florida, that just screams that he was not being stimulated sexually. And to have inflicted that, being a passionate person, I mean, we're talking about a guy who, to impress a woman, won a scholarship to go to law school just to impress a woman.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Another thing, I can tell you about a fire sign is, and being one, this rings true, is our emotions do run pretty deep, even though we're not a water, you know, and so that can really, in his case, you know, the emotional thing going on with him just set him to a really bad place, you know, and like I said, we can hide it to a point, but, you know, we're traumatized by, you know, emotional things too. And I feel that we can make more, because since we are, you know, like more of a, what should I say, like, we get attached to people, you know, fairly easily. In his case, it wasn't turning out good for him when he got attached to somebody.
Now, I do have a question from the chat. And I know that, just by talking with you, I hope I'm not ruining anything. I really do. But this seems like a really good series that you're adding to Visions Magazine Online. And the question is, have you done anything with Richard Ramirez or any of the minority serial killers yet?
You know, I have not, but feel free to... I'm looking for some ideas for some upcoming ones. So as long as a birth date is obtainable, if we get somebody way, way too far back in the past, as long as a birth date is obtainable, I can definitely do research on it. If you want to see something on, I'm looking for some ideas. So, yeah, I would say send me, you know, some names, and I can look up the birthdays, or you can, either way, but I can see what I can do for you.
Awesome. So, folks, if you have somebody that you think would be interesting to add to the series, go to visionsmagazineonline.com and send Tara a message. Let her know who you would like to see a little bit more in-depth detail on regarding their astrological signs and how that influenced their killing life. There are so many terms that I don't know that I can use, and I'm using the most basic terms, and they sound so terrible, but what these people did with their lives is absolutely deplorable.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no way to really rationalize it. We can only speculate, but yeah, they're not well. They're not well people, obviously. It's something really, you know, just is so off with them. It's I noticed a question in the chat. Andy said, is Libra an air sign? I would say yes, Libra is an air sign. They fall under the same umbrella with the Gemini. You know, you are usually the witty people when you have a lot of friends, and you know, you just like all that interaction. And so I would say, yep, you're an air sign.
Now, looking at the five people that we're talking about tonight, the ones that we're concentrating on, Dahmer, Bundy, Nanny Doss, Eileen Wuornos, and here after we come back from our next break, we're going to get into Charles Manson.
Mm-hmm.
But Manson literally has zero blood on his hands on to that effect. Dahmer had speculations of 15 to 20. Nanny mm-hmm. Doss admits to 11. And mm-hmm. Warnos did 7. Mm-hmm. But when we look at Ted Bundy,
he was a maniac.
speculation was, between the 40s and 50s, and he said add a 1 to that. So we're looking at somewhere in the vicinity of 100, whether or not he was bragging or not.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I were talking last night for the pre-show interview, at what point does it really become, what do we do now? I mean, here these people did these, completely evil acts, and the way we react is we put them on death row, we put them in jail, or we execute them. And then we turn around and see other mass murderers like Pol Pot, who killed 1.2 million of his own people, yet he got a vacation resort holiday until he died at the age of 72.
Crazy.
And it's like we really can't fathom how someone could kill so many people and justify the way that they did it. I mean, Pol Pot did it for the cleansing of his people. Nanny Doss was searching for that one true love. Eileen was a revenge killer of sorts. What was Ted Bundy doing?
I mean, he was a sexual deviant.
Would you call what he did, though, as revenge killings of a sort? Because
yeah, you're right. There was revenge in there, and I should have mentioned there are actually some Scorpio who are kind of known for the revenge thing in Bundy's chart. So yeah, he had the revenge thing going full blast there. He definitely called that one right on.
Yeah, well, because his victims were women who had mm-hmm. that exact same look.
Right.
And if we could ever see a picture of his first love at that time, the one that broke his heart, that's if she matches that description, I would very much say that it was every crime that he committed was a revenge killing. He was killing her in his mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like the way he put that because, yeah, I really think that it was it. He was choosing these victims very selectively. And, he, being the Sagittarius, they can charm, to really turn on the charm. And, boy, did he use that to full advantage. And not all the serial killers operate that way. That really set him apart. I see him as being very different.
And even up to the day that he died in prison, he was getting marriage proposals.
Oh, yeah. That was just... Isn't that crazy how some people, they become like serial killer groupies or something? Now that I can't even begin to understand, but you're definitely right.
And when you do see a picture of the man, even to this day, he was not a bad-looking man, so he literally could pick and choose who he wanted. But...
Yeah, he managed to attract quite a few. Yeah, quite a few. He was good with the ladies, but not when you were alone with them, actually.
Well, I definitely wouldn't date him, but I'm not a woman, so. All right. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, Tara. Let's go ahead and take our final break for the night. When we come back from break, I want to touch upon one person before we get into the illustrious person of the night, and that would be the gentleman who killed Jeffrey Dahmer in jail.
Sure, sure.
I'd like to touch upon him because you have to... I don't want to say admire, but you have to wonder about the man who felt the desire to kill someone as evil as Jeffrey Dahmer. And would you consider them evil now? Because they did remove someone as evil as that from... the world. So when we come back, I'd like to touch upon Jeffrey Dahmer's killer, and then we'll go into the man that everyone knows, and that would be Mr. Charles Manson. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in here to the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. You're listening to Behind the Veil. Tonight's topic is the astrology of serial killers. What made them who they are? What traits of their zodiac sign did they portray, and how did they use it to their advantage to wreak their havoc throughout their lifetime? Tonight's special guest is Tara from Visions Online Magazine. If you want to read the articles that Tara has written, go over to www.visionsmagazineonline.com. Scroll down to her five-part series, Start with Jeffrey Dahmer. I highly recommend it. We'll be back after this short musical interlude and station identification. And I got to get the music loaded into the player.
When you go off, calm again. I ask permission for the wrongdoing. Drop the bomb and get your story out and get it on. In a haze, the beginning of your day's gonna fall down. Gonna get back up, but at your own pace. Gonna fill your cup and find a way out of your own maze. Yeah, boy, what you said now. And how the rule book throw it in the waist looks strong. Like you belong, cause you do belong. Whether right or wrong, you belong. If you fail, at least you try to keep your aching, celebrating, wonder-making heart alive. Yeah, and cry, don't keep it all inside. Don't keep your aching, celebrating, wonder-making heart alone. Write your own song. My song. So here's a preview, shove it under old new, or call it rock or pop or bock or fuck. Goddamn, where did we go wrong? Now there's a category for every song. Yeah, we only wanna sing when we want to. Yeah, we only wanna dream when you want to. Yeah, we only wanna fly by the side, make it love to the rhythm, be a Jekyll and a Hyde. Yeah, we only wanna feel we can run through. Yeah, we only wanna beat we can drum to. Yeah, we only wanna fly by the side, make it love to the rhythm, be a Jekyll and a Hyde. So strive, and if you fail, at least you try to keep your aching, celebrating, wonder-making heart alive. And cry, don't keep it all inside. Don't keep your aching, celebrating, wonder-making heart alone. Write your own song.
Soul, the soul of me. is coming. Listen. You might want to run for cover. Unless...
Hey, Midwest Paratalk Radio is coming to you live every Thursday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from our final break for the evening. If you've just tuned in to the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, you are listening to Behind the Veil. If you'd like to join us here at ASPRN, hop on over into the chat room. Put into your browser window www.asprn.com/studiob.html. Hop into the chat room here. We've got a pretty lively group in here tonight. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. Have a lively chat. Get involved with the topic. We're talking about the astrology of serial killers here tonight on the show, folks. And we have a wonderful guest who really went into detail on how the zodiacs influenced some of the most evil people that walked our land, and that is Tara from Visions Magazine Online. If you want to read those articles, go to www.visionsmagazineonline.com, scroll down, and start with Jeffrey Dahmer, go into Charles Manson, Nanny Doss, Ted Bundy, Eileen Wuornos. Read about these people. It's a wonderful series. Please do. Tara, are you still with us, dear?
I sure am.
All right. Now, when we left off, we were talking about Ted Bundy, but I want to backtrack a little and go into a small spot about Dahmer and what happened to him after he went to prison, because it was publicized that he was killed in prison, but we didn't really get much of the story as to who and why that happened.
And you're right. I think the media kind of glanced over that, and I found that to be the missing piece of the story, which I tried to cover because I was interested in who and the why of, you know, who did end Dahmer and why and what happened. And they were keeping Dahmer kind of separate from the prison population for his own safety. Dahmer wasn't really liking that too much, so he was pushing for his freedom, and he finally got his way. So he did end up like a work detail with a couple very dangerous, murderers there. One being Christopher Scarver, and the other gentleman was named Jesse Anderson. He was also actually a guy that murdered his wife. And back to Christopher Scarver, he was a black man, and he was a delusional schizophrenic. That's how he was actually diagnosed. He actually believed and said that he was the son of God. And now when you see, Jeffrey Dahmer took some, a good many black victims, and Christopher Scarver being a black man, I'm sure took high offense to Dahmer.
Now,
go ahead.
I read your article. And Scarver was actually, he was the schizophrenic, but what landed him there, if I remember correctly, was he went to work, he had a nice job as a carpenter's apprentice, and he was promised a promotion to a full-time job, and the supervisor that promised him that was let go, so that promotion did not materialize for him, which would have turned his life around because he had a hellacious childhood, and this was an incredibly positive thing for him, but it was yanked out from underneath him, and he went into work, and one day with a 25 caliber semi-automatic pistol. I'm a gun nut, so that really stood out to me. And he found a coworker, robbed him of, what was it, $15, and then shot him in the head, then found the supervisor that was on duty, hurt him. I don't remember if he shot him or not, but conned him into making out a $3,000 check, took the dead man's credit cards, and left.
You have it exactly right. they might not lack too much for the article, but you can see his picture if you go on the site. Yeah, you're really getting the details very accurate, and that's exactly true. I mean, he lost it. You know, to him, his life was ruined. And Christopher Scarver, by the way, was a cancer sign. Now, I can tell you a few things about cancer. I was actually close to a couple cancers growing up, my mother being a cancer and a very close uncle who was a cancer. And I think the men cancers and women cancers are quite different, but they still are the emotional water sign. They usually make very good parents unless they have, you know, temper problems like what went on here with, you know, in the case of Scarver. You know, if they have, say alcohol, drug, or temper problems, you know, a cancer sign can go off the deep end. I can tell you Mike Tyson is a cancer, and you know, a lot of us out there might be familiar with the violence, you know, with Mike Tyson. You know, he has that sensitive side. I saw his, you know, most recent DVD interview, which was actually really interesting. He came clean about a lot of things. But, yeah, the cancer sign, emotional, but they can be very violent. I read that, you know, the cancer serial killers can really go crazy violent, and it's because cancer can direct a lot of energy into something, just like the Scorpio, so they're going to go full blast with it.
Now, Scarver killed Dahmer because, according to him, as he used before when he killed his coworker, God told him to. So he saw himself as delivering the justice of God upon an evil man. But then he turned around and he also killed the other person that was on that same work detail. I forget his first name, but Anderson. Mm-hmm. And Anderson killed his own wife and claimed that a black man did it. So he killed both. Either he killed one out of order by God, and the other one either as we have a witness, or you blamed a black man, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to make it sound, you know, that it was racially motivated, but...
Right. And to clarify, when we're talking about cancer, they can really be... It depends how they direct their energy. Okay, we're talking here about a very evil cancer, but I can give you an example of two cancers, and it depends on how they direct their energy. Okay, a lot of us probably seen the Erin Brockovich movie. She's a cancer, and if you go on and get updates on Erin Brockovich, she's still doing a lot of great stuff, involved in a lot of causes, and so that's a cancer directing her, you know, a lot of positive energy and focus. And then we have the cancer Courtney Love, who's done a lot of reckless things. So that's, you know, cancer and different views of a cancer. And I actually have an article on cancer coming up in the magazine.
Oh, you do?
I do. And well, I use a lot of examples and personality things. It's not like reading your daily horoscope. This goes much deeper and uses a lot of examples. And it's pretty it's different spin. You know how I write.
Well, that actually leads me to the question I just fielded from the chat room. Is so far in your studies, have you run across anyone that was a Virgo?
That would be the sign that I was never close to any Virgos growing up or in friendships. I'd say Virgo is probably the one that I have really not studied as deeply as a lot of the other ones. I can tell you just a little bit about what I know about the Virgo. They are, you know, an earth sign, okay? And what I can tell you about an earth sign is, you know, they're considered like the more, you know, grounded people. You know, also under the earth sign umbrella is going to be your Taurus sign. And, you know, Taurus, we have their Virgo. These are earth people. Capricorn is another earth sign, more grounded and practical than some of the other signs. Of course, Capricorn can be a little out there. Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson are Capricorns. They can get this wild streak about them, but even though they're earth signs. But I would say, you know, family-oriented is what comes to mind when I hear Virgo. A lot of times they put a lot of their time and attention into family matters.
Well, speaking of family, we have our last and most illustrious person who had his own quote-unquote family, and that would be Charles Manson. Now, he was a Scorpio, so he portrayed all those very classic signs of a Scorpio, that he had that inward-looking gaze. he was very outgoing in the fact that what he did, he had to be the best at what he was doing.
Right. That determined Scorpio personality trait going on there for sure.
Now, how... Through your article, I really would like for you to relate how you pointed out those very aspects in such a very unassuming... I mean, granted, he looked like, you know, Grizzly Adams, but... he was small in stature. He was 5'2".
Yeah, and I don't know if a lot of people realize that. You're right, he was not a real, a very, you know, tall man for sure.
And when I hear of a man that's that small in stature, there's not a lot of big name actors are that short. Tom Cruise is only 5'5". Michael J. Fox is 5'2". So, I mean, he's right there with them in the small stature, but with so much charisma, so much power, so much inner strength that this man, and he lived through hell.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he had quite a childhood. How he got through it, we know how he got through it, but yeah, it was very bizarre. One thing after another happening with Charles Manson as a kid, you know. One of the things that stands out with me is his mother tried to trade him for beer, you know, a pitcher of beer. Can you just imagine all wanting your kid to the point where you'd accept a pitcher of beer for your child? And, you know, one Christmas, or yeah, this was Christmas time, he received a gift, quite the different gift than what the other neighborhood kids get. He gets this, like, Superman brush, and he thought it was great until he saw what the other kids got. And the story being, the neighborhood kids, he ends up lighting their toys on fire and making a bonfire out of it. That there's it goes that revenge streak as a young child taking things into his own hands. And then another, did you read the one, I'm sure, where he was forced to dress as a girl in his childhood? Oh, that was heartbreaking to read.
By his uncle. When he was sent to live with his uncle, he said that you're being a sissy, so you're going to dress as a sissy, and dressed him in girls' clothes and made him go to school the first day of school.
And you're at age 12, you know, a very vulnerable age, and you're humiliated at age 12, just as your hormones are kicking in and you're, oh, just horrible. And then next thing you know, it's just a horrible, horrible thing.
Now, he exhibited... And you very, very accurately described each instance of his Scorpio nature, in that if you do a favor, or, you know, do a solid for a Scorpio, they don't forget that. If they can ever repay that debt, they will. And he very much exhibited that. But if at the same time, if you cross a Scorpio, it's holy hell coming your way. And case in point is the one time that he was in jail, Newell, the guy who eventually penned his biography of Charles Manson, they were in jail together, and then they were released about the same time, and Newell worked for an auto body shop. Charles had a car that needed some body work done, and Newell did it for free, and he never forgot that.
That's how Newell's book was made. Unfortunately, Newell has passed away, but that was one of the most interesting reads ever. If anyone has interest in serial killers, Manson, in his own words, it's right in the article, a little picture of it and everything. It was written really well. Really enjoyed it.
But then if you cross a Scorpio, exactly as he evidenced, you know, at that young age, you know, he got one present for Christmas. The other kids teased him, so he took their presents and set them on fire.
Exactly. And the reason this book impressed me so much was I'm sure everyone's not like me out there, but when I'm researching something, you know, I like to go on YouTube, and if I can actually see the person in action, reading about them is one thing, but then if you actually can see them, and now with the days of YouTube, we can see them, and there's tons of stuff on Manson, a lot of the interviews. And when he was interviewed, he usually saw the person interview him as the man and the enemy. That kind of came out in, you know, because they're being very accusing with him. And Noel was a cellmate, so this book was written by somebody he felt more on the same level with. You know, and he would confide a lot of things, you know, to him.
And through his life, he, like we said, he literally lived through hell. He lived in foster homes. His own mother would return him to the boys' homes at that time. You know, she would put him not in foster care, but the lack of a better term, orphanage. You know, she would send him to the reformatory schools.
Right. Yeah, that was his home. He found himself in there quite a bit. Yeah.
And that's where his Scorpio nature really took over for him. When instance that you illustrated in the article, when he was returned the one time, he was savagely beaten and raped by some of the older boys and one of the guards, and then wasn't allowed to go to the infirmary for an entire day. But then when he did get out, he took his revenge, very much like a Scorpio, by clubbing the hell out of one of the boys that did that to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a small guy, but, you know, through things happening, I think he did, you know, to a certain degree, definitely learn to defend himself.
Now, one of the things that everyone really likes to point out is that how he was a womanizer, but he never raped any one of the women that he was with.
You're right. He was not known as like a violent, brutalizing rapist. I think if someone only has ever seen the media clips of Manson, they really don't know much about Manson at all, because he never had a weapon in his hand as far as, you know, to defend himself in his childhood, probably, but I'm talking about these murders were actually committed by an associate of his. He wasn't the one that, threw the blows and did the killing. He wasn't even at the scene, you know, at all. And I don't want to give away too much of the article, but, you know, we talk about the actual killer in the article.
Yes, definitely go to Visions Magazine Online and read these articles, folks. They are very interesting. I sat here enthralled and read all five of the articles. And I only read them once, and I remember so much detail from them because you gave such a powerful description of each and everything. I mean, And one of the where Charles Manson really put forth a lot, well, what was a mainstay character was in the Haight-Ashbury section of San Francisco, because he loved music and he could really play. And one of the people that he associated with was Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a huge opportunity there to really make it. He was a heck of a singer. I've actually listened to some of his songs. After I read your article, I went to YouTube and found a couple of his songs. And he
impressive.
He had a great voice. He outsung Brian Wilson by miles.
That I can believe. Yeah, I've dug up some of that stuff too, and it's pretty cool.
But then you turn around, and he was put in so many situations that I would say that the things that he was convicted of was just mainly because he was so loyal to his friends that he took the fall for them.
Well, actually, that could have been the case. The media convicted on him based on what the actual murderers told the media. So, yeah, I mean, that could very well be the case in this one. The media really blew this one to such crazy proportions that you have to do an awful lot of reading to try to sort all this stuff out.
Now, if you ever had the opportunity to sit down with him, would you take it?
definitely. We were just talking about that days ago. We were watching the YouTubes one evening, and he'd be about age 74 now, Manson. I said, I would do this interview so much different than the way it's been done that I've seen on YouTube. Rata Rivera had done it. Brokaw had done it. They take a very... Manson judges you within the first few minutes, so you're not going to get a good interview if you're being really derogatory with him and if you're accusing him, because Manson's never admitted to these murders, and he's not going to start now. So I think it depends on the approach. It would be a really unique opportunity. I'd never go in there myself, I'll say that. Joe's going to be with me if we ever get to do it, that's for sure. Yeah, you'd be well. Yeah, you would definitely. That's on the agenda if the funding ever comes through. That would be something we would definitely attempt.
Well,
but you know what I'd want to do, and they probably wouldn't let us do, would be bring them a guitar. I said I'd sign a release. I'd take my chances and say, well, they probably say I could use as a weapon if there was any way to swing it. I would.
But you know what? He really was such a peaceful man. He only resorted to violence when he absolutely had to.
That's why I wouldn't feel the fear that probably most people go in there with. That I really know. You're right. Some would have to set him off. I mean, he would act in defense only. I really feel that is his nature.
But it would be something else to sit down with him and have him play the guitar, just to hear him release some of the things that has been. I mean, could you imagine just some of the things that he's written since he's been in prison all these years? If he's even allowed to write anymore?
Well, yeah, and the sad thing is, I've read this and he corroborated this. He said this in his own words, that he cannot read or write very well. So, heck, I could, you know, give him my article, but I'd have to read it to him because he's never going to get through it.
This is true. I mean, he did say he's never read a book all the way through in his life. And
I find that very, very sad, yeah.
But I just find him so enthralling because he's such an assuming person, but yet had so much sway over people. I mean, the man literally, he never held anyone captive. He never said no to anyone that was around him. It wasn't that kind of a, he didn't really have a cult per se. You know, it was, okay, if you want to go home, go. I'll even take you home myself. And there were many instances where he took people home, back to their parents or wherever they
were. Probably in a stolen car, but yeah.
but the turnaround, and these people have such loyalty to him, whether or not he actually gave the order to commit the crimes that were committed, no one's going to know unless he finally says so. But if he did, and this is speculation, that the level of power that he had over them, that level of commitment, and a lot of it was really trade for trade. You know, you did him a solid, he did you a solid.
Mm-hmm.
And, or if he did it first, a lot of people felt that they owed it to him to do what he asked. And if he asked them to do that, they wouldn't have had any problems doing it.
Right, and you have to realize these people are under some really powerful drugs, too. So, you know, what he said could have been misinterpreted. You know, it was just crazy. You know, craziness.
Now, as a Scorpio, what part of those traits do you see was his downfall that put him in that position to where he took the rap for the crimes that were committed?
Well, and I say he took the rap, he really never admitted, so I wouldn't say he took it willingly, but he seemed, when you talk to him, I think he just accepted. His life in jail is his life in jail, and he realizes it's very difficult for him in the real world, being he's such a disadvantage without being able to read and write, trying to find a job. You know, if you do a lot of reading about him, you'll realize that his real passion was music, and he considered the Beach Boys to have taken advantage of him and just taken his work without compensating him. And I feel they, if anybody would have had the opportunity to change Manson into something else, had they given him some self-esteem, paid him for his talents, things could have turned out much differently.
Makes you wonder exactly what could have happened if he had that opportunity.
Yeah, I see an opportunity they would have had. Not every, you know, once they reach a certain level, they, it's just sad, you know, because he met somebody in the industry that he liked the music, and then maybe things could have went a more positive direction. He was never really given any encouragement or a chance, and if you heard the guy break out into song, you would be amused and entertained.
Well, I don't want to give away too much more of the articles. I know I've given away a lot here on you, but we're at the top of the hour. Why don't you go ahead and plug some of the things that Visions Magazine is doing. Let's get the word out on those and put out the website, and we'll close out for the night. How do you say that?
Okay. Yeah, the website, I think it's been posted in the chat room because Joe's over there doing, I can't really see all of it, but yeah, I see it there. Yeah. But yeah, visionsmagazineonline.com, the print version is the way to go because you're going to get things in the print magazine that you don't see online. We save, you know, some really different things for you. Well, big focus on issue one is the Crystal Skull. We did a DVD, actually a documentary on the skull, and some really neat story on the Crystal Skull is going to be in there. We focus on a lot of hauntings and sometimes some precautionary things of what went wrong in a particular situation or what could go wrong, so it'll help you better protect yourself, you know, in those situations. And we have a shaman involved with Visions, which is really nice of Willie Windwalker Gibson to donate his time and be such a stable force and stick with us, because we don't have millions to pay Willie, and he takes a lot of his own time and puts it into Visions, which makes it that much better. Really experienced shaman on our side, which we like having Willie aboard, you know, because I can't answer all the questions we get in. Some of them I can, and a lot of them like, whoa, Willie, this is in your arena, and he just, no hesitation, boy. He just, you know, very dependable guy.
That man is phenomenal. I've interviewed him, and I can't wait to get him back on.
And we're also traveling. Our tour schedule's up on the site. Our next place we're going to be is Gettysburg, PA next month, the Phenomenology. Just Google Phenomenology, Gettysburg, PA. We're going to be there set up. I can even give you a tarot reading if you show up on that day, and we'll have the magazines there for you, too.
Awesome. Well, Tara, I really appreciate you coming on with us here tonight and sharing a different look at some of the most charismatic and, dare I say, influential people in our culture here today. And some of them still are alive. I mean, Charles Manson is still alive in prison, and he does grant interviews from time to time, so you may get that opportunity to go and talk to him.
That would be something else.
But I really appreciate you coming on. If you can stay with me through the close of the show, I'd like to give you my thanks a little bit more off-air.
Sure.
But ladies and gentlemen, go on over to Visions Magazine Online. The website's been posted in the chat room, but in case if you're listening through other means, go to www.visionsmagazineonline.com. Check out the five-part series of Tara's articles on the astrology of serial killers. It's incredibly informative, and if there's a serial killer that you have an interest in, don't hesitate to send that in to Tara. She will go ahead and do the research, give as much information as you can to help her out in writing these articles. They're phenomenal, and they're highly, highly educative. So go and check them out. Check out Ask a Shaman with Willie Windwalker Gibson, and sign up for some of the events that they're going to, the thing at Gettysburg. There's still tickets available for that, right, Tara?
Yes.
Okay, so definitely pick up your ticket there at Visions Magazine Online. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the top of the hour, actually a little bit past. I'd like to thank you once again for joining us here at Behind the Veil with special guest Tara from Visions Magazine Online. I've been your host, Christopher. Tune in next week for an all-new episode of Behind the Veil here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, have a very good night.